The city of Riverton is proud of its tradition of peacefully protesting against acts of racism, but a new generation of activists is taking the lead, and they have a different idea of what those protests should look like. Wyoming Public Radio's Savannah Marr reports.
George Floyd's killing at the hands of Minneapolis police sparked a wave of protests across the country. And the first Wyoming town to join that national movement wasn't Laramie or Cheyenne or even Jackson. It was Riverton.
Black Lives Matter! Black Lives Matter! Black Lives Matter! Black Lives Matter!
Riverton is a conservative rural town of about 11,000 people. Not the kind of place where you'd expect to see a protest, but it's also surrounded by the Wind River Reservation. Leading this demonstration is a young Arapaho person named Micah Lott.
I write this for those who feel entitled to judge the outrage of anyone who have endured the infliction of pain, oppression, or injustice.
Hello, my name is Micah. My Arapaho name is Hisispeye, which means old man's son.
Lott is one of a handful of people in Fremont County who has experience organizing protests. They were a water protector at Standing Rock, probably the largest indigenous-led protest movement in history. But Lott traces their roots as an activist right back here to Riverton, Wyoming.
Yeah, I think it's kind of difficult to pinpoint when you come from a targeted community. I think that there's probably like a lot of pivotal points like in my life that pushed me to the forefront of organizing things.
One of those pivotal moments came in 2003 when Lott was only 9 years old. A white supremacist group with a history of violence announced that it would move its official headquarters to Riverton. People in Lott's circles were outraged and afraid.
The majority of the response had come from indigenous people, like the tribal leaders and people like that.
And from tribal youth.
I was shy, but I felt really deeply, and I still do today, that this is something I wanted to speak out against.
That's Stephanie Seahare. In 2003, she was a student at Wyoming Indian High School. She and some of her classmates wanted to plan a demonstration to show that Fremont County wouldn't tolerate white supremacy. But there was no roadmap for them to follow.
We didn't really see too many protests or peaceful marches or rallies before that.
And a lot of people in Fremont County wanted to keep it that way. The idea of a white supremacist group setting up shop in Riverton wasn't popular. But neither was the idea of a bunch of Native kids marching through town in protest.
Not everybody, including my principal, I don't think, was just all out thrilled.
Colleen Whalen was a teacher at Wyoming Indian at the time. She says there was a fear that things would get ugly.
There were families, and they came up to me and told me, the adults, that no, our family will not be coming. That walk is dangerous.
So there was a lot of pressure to keep this event not just peaceful, but positive. Stephanie Seahare says she and her classmates internalized that.
We didn't want to divide people. We want everybody to come together. So we came together and did the whole peaceful protest. You know, we did the walk from Walmart to the city park.
And it was a success. Hundreds of people came out to support them. There was no violence and no counter-protesters. Every year since 2003, Wyoming Indian High School has organized a Martin Luther King Day walk in Riverton. The event has become something of a blueprint for activism in Fremont County. Ron Howard leaned on that blueprint in the summer of 2015 when Riverton was grappling with another act of hate. A white City Parks employee had shot two Northern Arapaho men in the head while they were asleep at a detox facility. Sonny Goggles survived the shooting but was severely injured. Stallone Trosper died that day. Howard says it felt like a punch in the gut.
That something so brazen and so bold could have happened. I was angry and I was confused and I didn't know what to do, but I knew somebody had to do something.
Howard wanted to make sure that what happened wasn't swept under the rug. So every July, he organizes a peace march through downtown Riverton. Howard strives to keep the tone of the event positive, despite the violence that prompted it. From the beginning, he says some people haven't been on board with that.
A lot of people were so angry that they said, no, we don't want to do that. We need to do something more. But in the name of peace and tolerance, that was about the only thing I could think of.
One of those people is Micah Lott. They say all this focus on peace and unity lets racist people and systems off the hook.
It seems as if it's like band-aids to like the much larger issue, because it's like we want results. We don't want this to keep happening.
So the protests lot organizes look a lot different.
No justice, no peace. No racist police. No justice, no peace. No racist police.
Since 2003, Lot has watched Riverton's protest tradition take shape. The Martin Luther King Day walk and the annual peace marches have helped shape their identity as an activist. But Lot is tired of being polite.
Why do we have to be put in that position where there's this continuance violence put against us, and then we have to be the peaceful ones, and we have to be the polite ones, and we have to be the ones that have nonviolent communication to be able to have these dialogues, and yet still nothing changes?
Lot says Native people in Riverton are only listened to when they're calm and cooperative. And as long as that's the case, they say nothing is going to change. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Savannah Marr.